interview with initial L, initial E, parenthesis Tommy, close parenthesis Thomas, Republican State Chairman, Panama City, Florida, May 21st, 1974.
Well, you know, it's a good base to start with. I think, is it Florida and Georgia that have this?
I'm not sure about Georgia.
Yeah, they have.
But doesn't Texas too?
Texas too, yeah.
Texas too, yeah.
What do you think of the idea of that? Because in a sense, it's kind of almost a public subsidy of party organization.
Yeah, of course, I don't know how we'd do without it. I mean, but I think that the way we try to do it is a pretty fair and equitable way. All the candidates who survived the primary, and generally speaking, I mean, maybe you could find some candidate who didn't get his money back, particularly some of them who were unopposed, you know. But since I've been chairman, in the two elections we've had since then, we've tried to give back all the candidates who survived the primary their filing fee. And I think that's a pretty fair and reasonable way of doing it. Then the people who are eliminated and the people who don't have primary opposition are paying the filing fee to really support the party. But we did have, we had a congressman last year who was unopposed, Fry. So he donated his filing fee to the party, is what it amounts to. Mm-hmm.
So you think it's a pretty good idea?
Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea, and I don't think yet that we're ready to fly without it. And the party, as I'm sure Bill David has told you, I mean, we operate on a pretty damn frugal budget. I mean, we don't throw any money away, and we don't have any frills, and we don't have an oversized staff, and we certainly don't spend a whole hell of a lot traveling and entertaining and things like that. We can't. And of course, I'm unpaid. In the case of the Democrat chairman, as you know, he's paid.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
John Wells paid?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sure he's not paid enough, but I think he's paid $15,000. But he's a part-time chairman just like I am. I probably spend as much or more time at it than he does. But he's an attorney, and I can see where, I mean, he should be paid, I think. And in all probability, in the next 4 to 6 years, our state chairman should be paid. He should be full-time.
Can you tell us a little bit about your political background?
Yeah, I've been.
How'd you get involved in all this?
Well, being a Chevrolet dealer in this part of the state, I don't go around carrying a card, you know, telling them to sign that I'm a ex-Yankee, but I grew up in northern New York, up in the part near Buffalo. And, of course, this was before the war. And I joined the Marine Corps in 1942 when I was 17. And in the small town that I lived in, everybody was Republican. And the only people who were Democrats were the people who wouldn't work. And this is true. I mean, you know, my God, it was a disgrace to be a Democrat. So when I married a girl from Birmingham while I was in the Marines and was discharged in December 1945, had been overseas twice, still wasn't 21. So when I turned 21 in July, I went down to the courthouse to register Republican, and they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. And they had to find somebody who knew the probate judge. They had to get him, and of course, I was very insistent that I was going to register Republican, and they said, well, you can't, you know, there's no such thing. And so this was a nice old fellow, and he told me, he said, you know, there's no such thing as Republican Party. They had to scratch their heads to find, to even think of.
Where was this?
In Birmingham. And finally they said, yeah, there is a Republican state chairman, and he's a vice president of Alabama Power Company. And told me where his office was. And he was a titular head, and since then I found out that he's what we know as a post office Republican. I believe the only reason that man was a Republican was if there was ever another Republican administration, he'd get to name the postmasters. Because, I mean, they had no organization, none whatsoever. I mean, they didn't even have a paper organization. And when I, you know, went to checking around, of course, being 21 years old, these older people, the few of them that were Republicans, they weren't anxious. They didn't want anybody. And they sure as hell didn't want any 21-year-old smart aleck, you know, helping them. I mean, they were polite to me, but that's about the extent of it. I mean, they allowed as to how they didn't need any help from me, you know. And they'd been running things pretty well for all these years and weren't bothering anybody or anything like that. So I lived in Alabama for many years.
Did you get registered?
I got registered, yeah, as a Democrat. But they said, look, you vote to, you're not supposed to vote in the Democrat primaries. And there again, I told them, well, if you open the damn polls, I'll be there. And, of course, the Democrats didn't like it because I voted in their primaries. But, hell, I voted. I told them if they opened the polls, I'd damn sure be there, and I was. And now in the general election, of course, then you got a different colored slip. You got a white slip or blue slip in the general election. But, hell, I voted in the Democrat primaries for years. And in small towns, I lived in a couple of small towns, and the Democrats didn't like it. But, you know, I was just kind of a pest, you know.
So when you came south 30 years ago, you looked for the Republican Party, and there wasn't any.
Right. I mean, there was a paper organization, but that's all. I mean, there no organization whatsoever. And the few people who were Republicans, most of them had many years ago probably migrated from the north, and they wanted a blood sample. I mean, really, truly, I mean, they wanted your credentials to go way back, you know, to prior to the Civil War, I mean, before they would accept you as a Republican. And they were so negative. The people that I found who were Republicans were really negative, and it's no wonder that they didn't attract anybody to the Republican Party, because they were beginners. And I don't know whether you realize this, and when you're in Alabama, you should research this. There is one county in Alabama that seceded from the Confederacy, Winston County, and it's always been Republican. It's called the Free State of Winston, and they're the orneriest damn people in the world, and some of the finest. But up there, they're the most independent thinkers you have ever seen. As we developed the Republican Party in Alabama, I was what was called a regional coordinator. I had five counties. Winston County was one of my counties. And everybody in the Republican Party said, oh, Tommy's really lucky. He's got a Republican county. But I had more damn trouble with those people, even though the courthouse was controlled by the Republicans. But they were very, very odd people. Very poor county, very low per capita income. But independent as hell. You know, they refused cotton allotments. Cotton subsidies, when they came along with the soil bank and all that, they said, screw the federal government, you know. I like their thinking, you know, they were independent as hell, but they were also a little bit backward. And they didn't keep up with the times. And it's still, I asked the state chairman in Alabama a month or so ago, and it's still the same way. It's up on the Tennessee border, just in the TVA area. Very unusual. But during the Civil War, they didn't let Confederate soldiers or Yankee soldiers spend the night in the county. They took up arms and ran their ass off, both of them.
So how'd you get involved in Florida politics?
Well, I'd been active all those years, I mean, in Alabama. So in 1964... I lived in Blount County, which is a county border in Birmingham. And I was a Chevrolet dealer. And I had been a Lincoln Mercury dealer in Birmingham for 9 years. And had been real active in the party. And the Ford dealer in Aniana, the little town that I moved to with Chevrolet, told me, because I'd been letting him have Mercuries and Lincoln once in a while when he needed them, and he told me when I moved to this small county, when they find out you're a Republican, nobody will trade with you. And I said, well, you know, I hope it's not that way, but it's too late for me to change. I've been a Republican all my life. And it was very odd. People found out in a hurry that I was a Republican because all the Democrats told them. But it was unusual as hell. Now, this was 1962. People would come around, they'd look around, make sure nobody was listening, and say, you know, I'm really a Republican. I think like a Republican, you know, but I'm a registered Democrat because that's all you can do. In 1964, in the five counties that I had, I elected Republicans in every county. And in three of the counties, we tipped over the courthouse. Coleman County, Alabama, which is the home of former Governor Big Jim Folsom, who was still a tremendous force then, at a brand new courthouse. Now, it wasn't the fact that we had such a great organization, but we did have a good organization. But the fact that the people had been used to voting a straight ticket. And because Goldwater was ahead of the ticket, they walked in and flipped the Goldwater switch, and all of them. And we elected the highest elected official in Alabama as a probate judge. We elected the probate judge in three of the five counties that I had, and elected a congressman, a very good congressman. He'd still be up there if he hadn't dropped out and ran against Lurleen Wallace, which was a tremendous mistake. I mean, there was no way anybody could beat her. A man by the name of Jim Martin. So immediately after that, I mean, everybody thought that I was crazy for moving to Florida because we'd had such a Republican sweep. We cleaned out the courthouse in Blount County. And, you know, it was unheard of. People didn't believe it. But we had found that there were good Republicans there. Most of them were in business. Had a man who was in the chicken business, raises millions of chickens a year, and he agreed to run for probate judge, and he was a very good one. And so we went a long ways towards making those counties Republican, and that was the best. I mean, that was the best five Republican counties in the state. And then the Chevrolet dealer here got killed in an automobile wreck, and it was a bigger and better deal, and so I moved down here. And I got here, and there's still no Republicans in this part of the state to speak of. We're outnumbered here 6-1 in the county. And but I met with a few Republicans who were here. A very prominent lawyer was the county chairman. The organization was dormant, but we had a fellow named Kirk running for governor, that you, I'm sure, have heard of. And we had a meeting and to select the county chairman for him. And they were about to select the Democrat. And even though I'd only been here a short time, I said, no, hell no, you know, that won't work. You'll never build an organization by doing that. So I went to Tallahassee and met Kirk, because I wasn't going to support him if I didn't know him and didn't like him and didn't think he could do the job. I met him and liked him and came back and took the job as his county chairman. And then in a matter of a few weeks, I took the job as coordinator of the whole northern section of Florida for Kirk. And of course, as you know, he was elected. And it's a crying shame that he was the kind of guy that he is. I mean, personally, I mean, I still like him and get along fine with him. But in my opinion, he set the Republican Party in Florida back 100 years. Because he really didn't have the philosophy and didn't believe in the things that we really believed in. He was an opportunist. He could flip a coin. He'd take either side. He was an attorney. He'd take either side of an argument anytime. And he was an egomaniac. And Jesus, the day that he was sworn in as governor, he started running for vice president. And he did some of the damnedest things that anybody has ever done. And as a consequence, he tore the party asunder. Just raped and ruined it. And just it just makes me sick every time I think about it.
Specifically, how did he do that?
Well, he was such a...
We've heard that before, but...
Oh, yeah. But the worst thing he did, we had a guy that, in Florida, in my estimation, deserves more credit than anybody for building the Republican Party in Florida and starting the two-party system really fervently in the South, because he went all over and spoke. He was in Congress for 16 years. His name is Bill Cramer. He's a Washington attorney now. He has offices in Washington and Miami. And at our state meeting a week from this Saturday, we're going to honor him by naming him the father of the Florida Republican Party. He's one of the finest congressmen that ever went to Washington. One of the brilliant. I mean, he graduated from Harvard, Phi Beta Kappa. Just a great guy. Just a brilliant lawyer. Probably knows more about congressional rules than any man alive. And still is a great asset to the Republican Party, because he was chairman of the Rules Committee at the 72 convention. And he's legal counsel now for the RNC and the Rule 29, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Just a great guy. But anyway, after he got out of the Navy, finished North Carolina, graduated with honors there too, went to Harvard, the law school, came back to Pinellas County, his home, and served a couple years as a city judge or something like that. then ran for the legislature and was elected to the Florida House, the first Republican. I believe it was 1954. Served a couple of terms in the House and then ran for Congress.
Would you say 1954 is really the start of the Republican Party in Florida?
It would almost have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
Because we were looking at registration today, and Bill gave us the figure starting with 54, and he alleged that that's the time the Republican Party started in history.
I would say, you know, just looking at the figures, that I would have to say, you know, I think they had more or less the same kind of Republicans here that we had in Alabama, maybe a little better, but most of them came from other states, Wisconsin and Michigan.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just
no, but I think that's... One. I mean, I haven't looked at the data and looked to see, but I would say it would probably have to be about 54. Well, to get back to Kirk, Kramer was in Congress, very successful, very well liked, very well respected, author of some of the best legislation that's ever been put on the books. Had a water pollution bill way to hell back concerning Tampa Bay, way back, I think it was 1956, 58, something. Way before hell Ralph Nader ever heard of pollution or ecology either. Just a great guy. And he worked like hell building the party. Went all over the state, all in the South, preaching the Republican philosophy. And he helped our Senator now Gurney was the Republican mayor of Winter Park. He's a native of Maine. And Kramer helped Gurney get elected to Congress. Campaigned like hell for him and everything else. And in 1968, when the Democrat Senator Smathers got in trouble over the Bobby Baker deal, among other things, and decided not to run for reasons of his health. The old saw down here was, you know, it was because of his health, everybody was sick of him. And he didn't run, and so a very liberal Democrat won the primary. Leroy Collins, who'd been in Johnson's representative at the Selma March, and that was a kiss of death right there. So Gurney was elected to the Senate. So coming up in 2 years, in 1970, Spessard Howland was not going to run again. And the Democrats had a big field. And the deal was that Kramer would support Gurney in 68, and Gurney would support Kramer in 70. And this idiotic governor that we had wanted to be kingmaker. And at the same time, Carswell was turned down for the Supreme Court nomination. And Kirk got the big idea and talked Gurney into it. It was Kirk's idea, but Gurney should have been smarter. But Kirk said, you know, here's a natural-born winner, man. We can't lose with Carswell. The people in the South are all upset because Carswell didn't get the nomination. And Carswell was going about his own business. In fact, he was on his way down to the Keys or somewhere, was on vacation. And Kirk had the highway patrol stop his car on the turnpike, bring him back to Winter Park. And they had a crash meeting with Kirk and Gurney and Carswell, and they talked him into running for the Senate against Kramer in the primary. And it split the party wide open. The Kirk people...
Hadn't they already picked out another candidate?
Yeah, but he was very weak, yeah, Osborne.
So, I mean, they were going to run somebody anyway against him.
Kirk was.
Yeah.
But Gurney wasn't involved in it.
Well, was Kirk so head up on running someone against Kramer?
Because Kramer
jealousy?
Was... Yeah, jealousy. I mean, because Kramer was still the daddy of the Republican Party. I mean, Kramer was much more highly respected than Kirk. And Kirk wanted to take the Republican machine... Kirk never won an election in the Republican committee, not one. He tried to elect the president of the YRs, chairman of the YRs. I mean, he tried all kinds of hanky-panky in the party, and he never got off the ground as far as the party was concerned. He was rebuked at every turn. So, as a consequence of them getting Carswell in there, and of course Kramer beat the hell out of him in the primary. But then people were split wide open. And then some of the Kramer people got on the Eckert bandwagon against Kirk, and that was a very bitter primary. And there were a lot of harsh things said that couldn't be retracted after the primary was over. And so we were split wide open. And, of course, Askew beat Kirk much more decisively than Childs beat Kramer. Childs still beat Kramer by something like 120,000 votes, but Askew beat Kirk by something like 250,000 votes. But it was nonsense because actually Childs was a very, very mediocre state senator. Had a very mediocre record, and he came up with a gimmick of walking the state, and it caught on. But if anybody had looked at his record in Tallahassee, hell, he never would have been elected to the United States Senate.
How would you compare Childs as a state senator with those whose names are now being projected in the Democratic Party to run against Gurney? Pettigrew and Horn and Stone, who's not the Senate but was.
Right, but Childs hasn't done anything. I mean, you know, he's kind of blah.
How'd you rate him against those three guys?
You mean in being efficient or as a campaigner?
As a state senator.
As a state senator.
I think all three of them are much better state senators than he. Hell, they used to have to wake him up and tell him how to vote. I mean, that's how, you know, he'd go out and tomcat around all night, and then they'd have to wake him up in the morning and tell him how the hell to vote. I mean, he was very mediocre. Stone was a good state senator. Stone's a good secretary of state. Horn, of course, is very astute politician. Works, you know, has boundless energy and ambition, and, you know, always kind of laughed when he said he was going to, that he was going to retire. I mean, what are you going to do after you've been Speaker of the House and President of the Senate, you know? But everybody knew that he'd run for something because he's a political animal. And Pettigrew is another hard worker. I mean, I think all three of them were much better state senators than Childs. I don't think there's, you know, any comparison.
So you think that election in 1970 set it back 100 years, huh?
Right, I really do. I mean, that may be stretching it a little bit too far, but we were going great guns. It was really going fine. The party was coming along in good shape, and then the big split. And see, the sad part about this, here we are 4 years later, and we still have some of those old wounds. I mean, I was in Pinellas County yesterday, spoke twice, at Clearwater Women's Club at noon and the men's organization at night. And, of course, that's Kramer's home county. But the feelings are still very deep. They'll never forgive Ed Gurney for it. Never. Because they are the older Republicans in Pinellas County. I mean, you know, the median age down there is very high. A lot of retirees. And a lot of them been acting in the party for many years, you know, and they just aren't about to forgive it.
What's the outlook for Gurney this year?
Well,
assuming he doesn't get indicted.
Well, honestly, now this, you're not going to use this to after the election, right? Well, even if he doesn't get indicted, I don't see how he can win in the year 1974. Because I've said, and I believe this firmly, that this year, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you've got a book pass due at the library, you're in deep trouble. I mean, any incumbent who's got any blemish in his record, has been in any kind of hanky-panky or anything like that, he's going to have a problem. If he has a qualified man run against him who brings it out. And, it ought to accrue to our benefit as far as the state's concerned, because there's so many Democrats, particularly in the cabinet, you know, who are embroiled in these scandals. I mean, if we don't elect two or three people to the cabinet, you know, there's not much hope for us. Hell, we'll never have a better opportunity than we got now.
Askew would be pretty tough, though, wouldn't he?
Askew would be tough, except for one thing. And I think that this is the way we're going to run the campaign. 75% of the people in Florida, or close to that, are conservatives. And doesn't make a difference whether they're registered Democrat or Republican, they're still conservative. And we can prove, and this is going to be our campaign, we can prove that Askew is not a conservative. He ran as a conservative, he was elected as a conservative, but the day after he was elected, he started bending to the left. And he's gone too far to the left. The vote in Florida against busing was about 80%, and Askew endorsed it. Now, busing, a lot of people say busing's not going to be an issue this year, but I'll tell you right now, it damn sure is. It's going to be a big issue. It's going to be a big issue in lots of states, and it sure is going to be an issue in Florida.
But yet his pop, you know, Orlando something had that poll last month, I think.
But their poll was a Mickey Mouse poll. That the poll that they ran was not a real legitimate poll. Because one of the pollsters went to Senator Gurney's office down there and said, look, I took the poll in this area, and the people I polled and talked to, the results I got are not the results that they're showing. Now, Senator Gurney's aide down there was pursuing it to see, you know, what happened. In fact, he went to the Orlando paper and pointed out to him that here was a person who took the poll in this area and said, look, this is what I turned in, and this is not what's published in the paper. So somebody bent the statistics in it somehow.
Did the paper respond to that?
No, they haven't.
So in short, you see, because of the climate, the environment, you see it's going to be tough for Gurney.
I think it'll be very tough.
And equally tough for the three cabinet members who are under indictment or being investigated by IRS or grand jury.
Almost impossible.
And you see the weakness of Askew, as Askew, the fact that I'll be busing Stan in a general move to the left. Is that pretty well summarized?
Yeah, plus the fact that we have a very, very good conservative candidate running as a Republican. He was Democrat president of the Senate. His name is Jerry Thomas. He's no relation of mine, but a great guy. And a dyed-in-the-wool conservative with an outstanding record and works like the devil. Campaigns hard. Has been building an organization for over a year. And he has the best organization right now. 5 months before the election, he's got the best organization I have ever seen. Got the most people, and that's what it takes. And he's done it quietly. A lot of people don't even realize that he has such an organization. But he has organized every county. Doesn't make any difference. You know, we have 18 counties in Florida, I believe it is, with less than 100 registered Republicans. But he has an organization in each one of those counties, and obviously they're not Republicans. He's gone in and got Democrat conservatives on his steering committee. And he's done a phenomenal job, and I tell you right now, remember, I'll bet on it. I'll put money on it that he'll win. Because, listen, things haven't changed that much in 110 years since Abraham Lincoln told us how to do it in 54. Find the Whigs and be sure they're registered, and then be sure you get them out to vote. That's what this guy's doing. He's finding the people who are sympathetic, and he's building an organization. And Askew's going to try to do it with the press and with PR. And I just believe that the way that Thomas is doing it this year is the way that's going to win.
How about, what do you see as the outlook on the congressional races?
We'll win. All four of our incumbents will win, and we'll pick up one other seat. The 5th district, there again, we should have had it in 72. It's a new district. It's a Republican district. But we got embroiled in a bitter primary. And when the two guys got through calling each other sons of bitches in the primary, I mean, then they couldn't get their people back together in the general election. And we should have won it. This year, we have two fine candidates running, both of them high-type men, and they have agreed to run for the seat and not against each other. And therefore, I mean, I think we'll win the seat. It's the one that Gunner's vacated.
Do you think that the fact that the primary is held so late in Florida hurts either party in contested races? I mean, that it's bad for party politics?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I've heard all kinds of arguments on both sides, and, you know, I don't know that it really makes any difference. I don't, you know, I don't know. The thing that scares me more than anything now is the apathy in both parties. I mean, the distrust that people have in general. In the primary in Indiana, what, 2 weeks ago? In Indianapolis, 18% of the people turned out. My God, you know, if that's any signal to what to expect in November, I mean, that would be tragic. But an awful lot of people are turned off. An awful lot of party people who, in the past, you know, have been good workers now are really turned off.
Well, do you think the effect of Watergate is a temporary thing?
Well, you know, what do you mean temporary? I think, you know, we'll get over it in a few years, but I think it'll take, probably it'll take the next presidential election to straighten it out.
How much has that set the party back south-wide?
A lot. Set us back a lot in Florida. This fellow Jerry Thomas switched on December the 7th, 1972, a month after the general election. We had a whole bunch of other Democrats scheduled to switch. And, you know, we were busy, preoccupied with the inauguration and everything, on cloud nine. You know, weren't really concerned about it. Everybody was tired from the 72 campaign. We could just visualize, you know, 73 going to be such a hell of a good year for us. And then, you know, all this, the can of worms started opening up, you know, right after the inauguration. And of course it's hurt.
How strong is the Wallace movement in Florida?
Very strong.
If, let's assume for a minute that Askew gets reelected for the sake of my question. If he gets reelected and then runs against Wallace in a presidential primary in Florida, which would be only Democrats voting, how do you think he'd come out?
How would Askew come out? Well, things would have to change an awful lot for him to do any better, but Wallace would beat Askew in Florida 2-1. I mean, Wallace is that powerful here. That's why I say Jerry Thomas would beat Askew, because we're just going to prove to the electorate this fall that Askew is not a conservative. No way is he a conservative. And as of right now, I don't know what your brother tells you in Pensacola, but Askew couldn't carry his home county right now. As Cambria County. And naturally, he was their darling in 70. I mean, they put up a lot of money for him. Hometown boy. Nobody thought he had a chance. But he could not carry his home county now.
Why not?
Because if he was a turncoat, that he has forsaken him. And he has in many ways. Not just, he's made some tactical blunders besides his philosophical blunders. The tactical things are that he doesn't return calls to people who supported him when he was running. They can't get to see him. We've had the attorney right here in this county, who is his county co-chairman, wrote a hot letter to him and released it to the press. Because he was disappointed in his liberal leanings and wrote him for an appointment, didn't even get an answer. So he blasted him in the paper, all over the state. He has not done his homework, and one of the reasons he hasn't done it is he has surrounded himself, his staff, there's only one conservative on his staff. That's a member named Harvey Cotton. The rest of them are very liberal. And the guy who's giving him the most trouble now, one of his pressmen is an old aide, a fine old man, named Moose Harlan from Pensacola, but he doesn't have any clout. The man who's running the show over there now is a man named Don Pride, who is an ultra-liberal reporter from an ultra-liberal paper, the most ultra-liberal paper in the state, the St. Petersburg Times. And Pride is running the show, and it's damn sure going to kill him.
You see the two parties realign themselves along liberal and conservative lines in this state?
I see them doing it nationally. I think it'll happen in this state, and I think that within another 4 to 6 years, you can almost throw away the labels Democrat and Republican. I think we'll be just about like they've been in England. I think you'll have the Liberal Labor Party and the Conservative Party.
Will that be the basis for building Republican strength, disaffected conservative Democrats?
Yes, it has been for...
I mean, is that a conscious strategy by the party to attract them?
Sure. Hell yeah. We've been wooing the conservative Democrats and telling them they're in the wrong party ever since I've been here. And I've been trying to convince the people on the local level, but they come back and say, all right, leave me alone. You know, I'll give you money, I'll support you. Let me vote in the Democrat primaries, and I get 2 shots at the guy. If I don't like him, I get a shot at him in May, and in September, get another one at him in November. I've been trying to convince them that they should realign now, but as long as the Democrats control all these courthouses from Jacksonville to Pensacola, it's hard to get them to switch. But, you know, if there's a grand realignment, but you're talking about Wallace, while you're in Alabama, you confirm this. You probably already know it and probably know more about it than I do, but I lived in Alabama when this happened. It tickles me in a way, I mean, it tickles me funny, like, it's not a damn bit funny, but that Wallace had got people convinced that he's a conservative, but he's not a conservative. He switched in 1958. He was the most liberal man in the Alabama legislature. And he ran for governor against a man named John Patterson, who was elected strictly on his father's shroud, if you want to put it that way, because his father was assassinated. But when Patterson defeated Wallace, Wallace made the statement, you know, I'll never be outsegged again. He did a 180-degree turn in one day. I mean, he didn't do it by gradually. He did it in one day. And you know, you can tell the people from his home county that night, you can tell the people from Montgomery, and they've already forgotten it. And they think he's a great conservative, but hell, he's no conservative. He's a political opportunist. It's true.
Who do you think would win a Republican presidential primary in Florida, 76? Look in the field over now.
In Florida, Reagan definitely would. Ford, in all probability, if he chooses to run, he could carry it. Reagan could definitely win. Probably Connally could beat any Democrat. And that's about as far as I'd go. In Florida, I don't know how Teddy Kennedy would do, but in Florida, the leading Democrat that's being spoken of now would be Jackson, because Jackson is closer to the philosophy of the people of Florida than any other Democrat that, you know, that's prominent.
How do you think the Republican Party in Florida compares with the parties, organizations and candidates in the other southern states?
I think we're way ahead of most of them, maybe excluding Virginia, but from what I've heard about Virginia, their organization is not too good. I think we've got the best party organization in the South. I think Texas is coming along, you know.
How about Tennessee?
Yeah, well, excuse me, I forgot Tennessee. They have an excellent organization mainly because of, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. I mean, but with 2 senators and a Republican governor, they've got to be doing something right. But, you know, Tennessee's historically had, you know, even since the Civil War, Tennessee's had a strong Republican Party in the eastern part of the state. Almost rock-ribbed. Yeah, I think Tennessee's got a better organization than we have. Georgia and Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi's got a funny kind of an organization. The oddest I've ever seen. Did you say you've been there yet?
St. Clark Region.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah.
Jesus, he's got the damnedest. I mean, you know, Clark's got a kind of a little clique thing. You know, I didn't know him real well, and the kid didn't know a hell of a lot, but when he elected two congressmen, he screwed up. Because up until then, he'd been the kingfish. I mean, every damn pork barrel they rolled out in Washington, Clark Reed opened it. I mean, he had more patronage in Mississippi than we ever heard of in Florida, you know. And it kind of irritated the hell out of me, to tell you the truth. But he was on the inside on everything. But now that he's got two congressmen, they're sharing in it with him, you know. He has diminished his power somewhat.
Why is the party stronger in Florida? Is the financing one reason, or is it something else?
No, I think it's the philosophy that we have in having the counties organized. In some of the states, they have a central committee, and that's all. I mean, you know, that's the end of it. I mean, they got a lot of talk and all that, but particularly since, I'm not taking any credit for this. I mean, it's what I believe in. That I'm real old fashioned. I think that if you're going to win, you have to have every county organized, and that's what I've tried to do, even with the little counties. I mean, I've probably spent more time working in the small counties than any chairman they've ever had. In fact, I'm probably the first one that ever spent any time. But we have tried to get the small counties because I know it'll work. I know it can be done. Because I have seen it, you know, in Alabama, and I tell them, you know, look, I'm not telling you something that I read about or something. I'm telling you about something that I actually saw happen. And, you know, it's funny what one guy can do in a county. You get one good guy in the county that dares stick his head up, and if he's a good man, it's fantastic what he can do. We have a young state senator in Tampa in Hillsborough County. One man. His father died. His father was a rare individual, a rare character, was elected to the state senate. He'd been dean of three or four law schools. Tough old bastard. But very well respected by everybody. And he died in office, and his son was appointed and then ran for the job and was reelected. And we're making headway in Pinellas County, in Hillsborough County, Tampa.
Who is that?
David McLean. And largely because of this one man. Very Democratic county.
What do you foresee as the future role of the Latin population in Florida, in particular the Cubans in Dade County?
Well, that's a strange thing. They can be a great help to us, but truthfully, we lack some good leadership in the Cuban area down there. The problem I have with them, and they're very devout, but they're peculiar people. And they tell me, I mean, you know, this is the way they did it back home, you know. In Dade County, at one time we were registering before Watergate, about 85% of the people registering, of Cubans registering Republican. Now it's about 60-40. I mean, we've dropped off quite a bit. But the trouble is that there are about four big cliques. Then there are about eight minor ones, so they're about the total of about 12 cliques. And if I go into the county and have lunch, if they call me and the leadership and one clique wants to see me, and if somebody else in one of the other cliques sees me even having lunch with these other guys, oh my God, you know, they're calling and raising hell, wanting to know, you know, what have I done wrong and what's wrong? You don't love me anymore? And I said, God, that doesn't have anything to do with it, you know. They asked me to meet with them, and I've made no deals with them. They're always afraid that somebody else is going to get a little bit of power. And I understand that's the way it was back in their homeland, you know. They had all these little cliques and extremely jealous of one another. If we could ever get them to pull together, but it's... I'm sure, I mean, some of the... And there's some very intelligent people down there. I mean, hell, you know, we got a lot of lawyers and doctors and bankers and some excellent people. But they know that the big problem they have is the petty jealousy. If they ever decide to all pull together, there'll be a hell of a force. But it's going to take some strong man, you know, to come along and grab the leadership. And truthfully, right now, we don't have it. We have a guy down there that I like very, very much, and he's the one that I trust the most. He's a stockbroker by the name of Jose Casanova. But he can't get them all together.
They have the potential to be a significant political force in the state, don't they?
Oh, they certainly do. You know, I'm sure you're aware of this, but the Cubans in Tampa and the Cubans in Miami are two distinct different breed of cats. The Cubans in Tampa are mostly Democrat. They're second and third and fourth and fifth generation Americans, you know. And they're Democrats. They've been steeped in the Democrat Party politics of Hillsborough County. And the Cubans in Miami are completely different. Most of them, you know, tremendous number of them only been here, well, most of them have been here less than 20 years, you know. Some of them, well, I don't know what the percentage is, but got a lot of brand new ones, you know, and they're completely different from the Tampa variety. But boy, you're right. If they ever decide. And I've been trying to tell them that for a couple years. But you know, you gotta have one strong man.
Who are the leading potential candidates for lieutenant governor, Republican candidates?
For lieutenant governor? Well, I don't know. You know, there's so many people I think that would probably like to have it, and kind of courting Jerry Thomas, but I've stayed out of it. I mean, I think that's should be his prerogative. I mean, to pick the guy,